All right, are we ready for God's Word this morning?
Yes.
We're going to begin a new series this morning that I'm titling Intimate Moments with Jesus. You know, I've personally felt in my devotional life and in studying for preparation, delivering the Word here on Sundays, that I felt compelled to talk more and more about Jesus, who He is, and being more like Him. And so we're going to embark on a couple of Sundays, probably a month's worth of messages on intimate moments with Jesus. How many of us know that Jesus is a very personal Jesus? And the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, you know, why do I say it that way? Because there are a lot of different notions and beliefs and belief systems about Jesus that aren't anywhere close to what God reveals of Him in His Word. But the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, is one that likes to become very intimately close to us. Am I right? And He wants to know you intimately. He knows you already intimately. And He wants to be known intimately as well. So we're going to look at one of the most intimate conversations between Jesus and one of His disciples that I believe you'll be blessed by as we see it this morning. But we're going to provide all the different background to it. So if you're in John chapter 21, let's begin reading with verse 15. So when they had eaten, the disciples had eaten breakfast with Jesus. Now, please remember, Jesus fixed them breakfast. And it says, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, do you love me more than these? More than whom? The other disciples. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John or Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Jesus said to Peter the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we entrust this word of yours and the revelation therein to you, Lord. And Father, give us hearts to see, eyes to see, hearts to receive, hearts to accept your message. That, Lord, that this message would compel us to be closer and more intimate with you, Lord, as you seek to become more intimate with us. We entrust this to you, Lord, and to your blessing and to your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, what's happened here, let me just provide a timeline because it's going to be very important, the events leading up to this very, very intimate, very personal conversation that I believe was only taking place between Peter and Jesus. The other disciples were not around to hear what was going on here, okay? And so the other disciples had eaten breakfast, and then enter this scene where Jesus begins to ask Peter questions. Now, it's very important that I say this to you. This is not the first time that Peter has a very intimate conversation with Jesus. Very important. Listen carefully. He has had several, but the most important took place with Jesus and Peter before Jesus appeared to any of the disciples after his resurrection. How do we know that? Keep your finger here in John 21. Turn with me, take a right to 1 Corinthians 15. Very important. The most important conversation that Jesus had with Peter was necessarily this last one, but among the conversations that Jesus had with Peter was had at the very beginning before Jesus appeared to any of the 12, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and let's read verse 3 and verses following. For I, Paul the Apostle, delivered to you, first of all, that which is also which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Listen carefully. Verse 5, and that he, Jesus, was seen by whom? Who is Cephas? Peter, right? He was seen by Peter. Notice the next phrase. Then by the 12. He was seen first by Peter. Then Jesus appeared to the 12. Why is that important, church family? How many of us know that if you were Peter, you would feel that Jesus wouldn't have anything to do with you because of what you just did to Jesus in the moment of trial? Right? What did Peter do to Jesus? He denied him. How many times?
Three times
before the rooster crowed, just as Jesus predicted. Now, we'll get to that, Jesus predicting it. But Peter denied the Lord Jesus, and I'm sure in his heart and his mind that Peter disqualified himself, and he probably thought, Jesus doesn't want to have anything to do with me anymore. Jesus doesn't want, he's done with me. How many of you have ever felt like Jesus was done with you? Is that, I mean, it might feel real, but how many of you know that's not true? How many of you would say with me this morning, thank God that is not true? Amen. And so, Jesus has this first meeting with Peter. We can only speculate what happened in that first meeting. But I believe with all my heart that Jesus was there to reaffirm his love for Peter. Amen? Why is this important that I'm sharing this? Because for the longest time, I thought that the first conversation that Jesus had with Peter was in John 21. And I was like, Jesus is cutting to the quick. In a very fast manner, you know, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? But that's not the case. Jesus met with Peter before he appeared to any of the 12. Right? Now, go back with me to John chapter 21, please. John 21. And let's read verse 14 of John 21. This is now the what time Jesus showed himself to the disciples? The third time. So how many times did Peter get to see Jesus? No, not three.
Four.
Why? Because who did Jesus meet with first before he met with the 12? He met with Peter. How many of you know that our Savior loves us so much, he'll keep meeting with us and he'll keep working with us and he'll be patient with us and he'll work with us until we finally get it. I thought maybe you all would be happy about that.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm sure some of you already picked up on this, but I can be a little dense at times and the Lord needs to just keep working with me. Amen. All right. So listen to what's happening. Now remember what Jesus told Peter? Because Peter said, you know, Lord, Jesus was telling all the 12, he said, you know, guys, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be taken charged by the Gentiles. I will suffer many things, et cetera, et cetera. Jesus called it. And then Peter stands up. And how many of you know that Peter was sincere? He said, Lord, not me. What did he say? Though all these other 11 dudes will fall away, he said, I, Lord, am willing, number one, to go to prison for you. That's a mouthful. What's the second thing he said? Lord, I'm not only willing to go to prison, I'm willing to die. I'm willing to die for you. Okay? That's a mouthful. Those are some heady statements. Those are big, big boy statements. Those are big dog statements. But the question is did Peter have the capacity to follow through on those statements?
Nope.
No. Jesus said, Peter, I'm telling you the truth. He said, truly, truly, I'm telling you. And probably in this tone of voice, Peter, Peter, Simon, Simon. Before the rooster crows, you would have denied me three times. Peter was adamant, no, Lord, but Jesus just let the conversation hang. Okay, so let's fast forward to the Garden of Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is praying how many times to the Father? Lord, remove this cup from me. How many times did Jesus pray? Three times, right? And every time that he finished praying, he would go back to the disciples. And what were the disciples doing?
Sleeping.
And Jesus would say, watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. What temptation was Jesus talking about? The temptation that the disciples would cave in the hour of trial. Right? And then he'd go back to pray, come back. He saw them sleeping. He would say, watch and pray, guys, because they were heavy. Their eyes were heavy. They were like, okay, so let's fast forward. And so they come to arrest him. This gang of men come to arrest Jesus. And one of them was the high priest or the priest, high priest servant. His name was Malchus. And Malchus went to apprehend Jesus. And what did Peter do?
Pulled out his sword.
Now, the Bible says he cut off the guy's ear. I don't think he was just aiming for the ear. He was aiming for the head. So was Peter sincere? This is important that you realize. Was Peter sincere when he told the Lord, I'm willing to go to prison for you and I'm willing to die for you? He was very sincere. He proved it by taking out his sword and taking a swipe at the servant, right? So he wasn't shucking and jiving, if I can say it that way. Peter wasn't shucking and jiving. He wasn't just trying to say, Jesus, you know, look at me and I'll be your main man. And no, he was sincere. And the Lord takes the ear of that servant, heals him, puts it back on his head, heals him. Unbelievable. And then he tells Peter, put away your sword because they who live by the sword will die by the sword. You guys are well taught. Thank you. Okay. So what happens then is it's tense. Jesus is taken away. Where does Peter and John go to the temple area? Because that's where Jesus is taken, right? And John goes on ahead of Peter. Peter is out in the outer courts warming himself there by a fire. And then some people begin to take note. Aren't you the guy that followed Jesus? Right? Aren't you him? What did Peter say?
No.
Another person. Your accent gives it away. Peter said, no. And then a teenage girl. I love teenagers, but teenage girl, really? He caves. Peter caves. Listen, Peter caves and denies the Lord. And he said, I never knew him. Oh, my gosh. When he said that, when Peter said that, what happened? The cock crowed. You know, of all the animals that God could have chosen, why did he choose the rooster? Because the rooster is cocky, it's proud. And he made a real lesson, drove a lesson to Peter, said, you think you're like that dude, but you ain't got it in you. Now go with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. And buckle your seatbelts because it's going to be, wow. Let's read two verses. Verse 60. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Notice verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Okay, Put yourself in Peter's shoes. The next verse says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. Jesus was being taken from one place of the temple to another place, and he happens to walk through the outer courts. And when Peter denies him, Jesus looks at Peter in the eyes. Now, listen, I don't believe that Jesus was trying to rub it in. I believe that it was a look of love, number one, and number two, a look of hurt. His friend had just sold him up a river. Can you imagine being Peter? You went from hero to zero after that look, didn't you? Can you imagine those days, the leading hours of the next day, what went through Peter's mind? He thought, I bet, how many times do you think he kicked himself? How many times do you think he wished he could have stood up for Jesus after that look? Don't you think that look was seared into Peter's consciousness for the next many hours? Come on, somebody, has anybody ever been there? Anybody ever been there where you felt so guilty and you felt ashamed and you felt, what was I thinking? I wish I could turn back the hands of time. Oh my. And from that point on, do you think Peter was cocky? No. No. Now, go with me to John 21. Okay, now, please remember that the New Testament was written in Greek. The Greek language was the most exact language in the world. God chose the most exact language to have his gospel preached. That says a lot. So now let's go back to our initial scripture, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" That word love, listen carefully, is the Greek word agape. Let's translate it accordingly. Simon, do you love me with a supreme love, with a love that is willing to die for me? Very important. What is Jesus asking Peter? Do you love me with a love that is willing to die for me? Notice Peter's response. He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that it's not agape, it's phileo. You know that I phileo you." Jesus was asking Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me supremely in such a manner, Peter, that you're willing to die for me? And Peter said, "No, Lord." Well, he said, "Yes, I love you, but I love you with a friendship kind of love, not a supreme love." Interesting, isn't it? Next verse. He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me supremely with a love that is willing to die for me?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you only as a friend." Phileo. Goes on a third time. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me supremely with a love that is willing to die for me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me supremely?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you only as a friend." Is Peter humbled now? Peter knows that he doesn't have it in him to follow, right? Let me ask a question here, and we're almost done. Listen, how many of you have ever come to that crossroads in your relationship with God where you said, "Lord, I claimed that I could do better for you. I thought that I could do better for you. Jesus, I believe that I could do better for you, but Lord, my feet are as clay." Anybody? Anybody? I've been there more times than I care to think about, but listen, that is a great place to be. Because though we're talking about intimate moments with Jesus, Jesus is about to restore Peter. He's about to restore Peter. How does he do that? Listen carefully. Jesus is entrusting. He says, "Feed my lambs." What's a lamb? It's a baby sheep, isn't it? Jesus is entrusting young believers to Peter. This is the same Peter that denied Jesus three times. times. It was not a mistake. It was not an accident. You know, as the old saying goes, once is an accident, twice is a problem, three times is a trend. Right? And so this situation was not an oops. It was premeditated. And yet Jesus turns around, and though Peter cannot love Jesus, at least at this point, love Jesus the way he's telling Jesus he can't love him or the way Jesus wants him to love him, he says, Lord, I can't love. I only love you as a friend. I don't have it in me to die for you. I can't love you supremely, Lord. And then Jesus said, not only will you feed my lambs, you will tend my sheep. You'll feed my young believers. You'll tend my older believers. And then he goes on at the very end of the conversation. He said, Peter, in fact, you will indeed love me supremely because you will die a death to glorify me with. And what did Peter say? Oh, why me? What about John? Right? What about him? Jesus said, what if it is my will that he remains alive until I come? What is that to you? Peter, all you need to be concerned with is following me. Okay, church family, so let me ask you a question. Intimate moment with Jesus. Listen, Jesus will get right in the middle of your failure, right in the middle of your struggling sin. Come on, somebody. Amen. And he will seek to restore you, not condemn you. Because how many of you know that even as Jesus had more faith in Peter than Peter had in himself, the same holds true for you and me. Jesus has more faith in us than sometimes we have in ourselves when we have been humbled by our own sins and humbled by our own failures. Amen? Listen, I welcome sins, welcome failures, because they're the launching pad for restoration. So let's close this. Let's land this plane. Listen, Jesus loves us, church family, and sometimes though we can't seem to follow him the way he wants us to follow him, Jesus still does not give up on us. Amen. Who's happy about that? Amen. Just be real with him. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap this morning. Just be real with him. Just be real with him. Don't shuck and jive him. You can't. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder, Lord God, that you have more faith in us than we have in ourselves, Lord. When we respond to you with an honest and a sincere but a very broken, Lord, I can only love you as a friend. I can't love you, Lord. I can't follow you, Jesus, the way you want me to follow you. You nonetheless, Lord, in your mercy and in your great patience towards us, you say, I believe in you. I'm not giving up on you, and I'm still working with you. And in fact, I'm entrusting these people to you. That's how much I believe in you. Lord, thank you for that amount of faith and forgiveness and mercy and love. We receive it into our lives, Lord, as we seek to get intimate with you, transparent with you, as we seek to get real with you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that in your name. We sense that sweet presence of Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us the way you do. Instill that knowing in all of these, your people. It is through your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.